Today on Real Radio.
And so he says in verse 27, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew. Listen, mark it in your Bible. Nobody knew at the table for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was sending him to get things for the feast. Or others thought that he was commanding him to go get something for the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately and highlighted in your Bible, it was what? It was night. It was dark. This stuff always happens. Denial always happens when it's dark. So, Jack, what do you mean by that? Oh, I'm not talking about the sunlight being up and down. In this case, the sun was down, of course. But denial always happens when we're walking in darkness. Had Judas walked in darkness? Oh, yeah.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're in a sub-series called Living in the Hour of Denial, as we look at a portion of Scripture that talks about two people who betrayed Jesus, and yet they still both fall into two different camps, as we'll see. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs with more of this study called Living in the Hour of Denial.
But the fact of the matter is, Judas, listen, you Bible students, this is a very good key and it should comfort you, and a verse that causes complaint sometimes. Judas is a perfect example. He lives out Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. That there the Bible says, for it's impossible to renew those who once enjoyed the presence of God in their life, who exercised the power of the Holy Spirit, who knew of the Word of God. It's impossible to renew them back into the fold. That means they're lost eternally. Does that mean a Christian loses their salvation? No. It means that there can be Judases in our midst who can even do miracles, who can taste of the power of the age to come, who know the Word of God, who can do great signs and wonders, and who in fact at the end never knew Jesus. Jesus in Matthew 7 verses 20 and 21, 22 says, in the last days, I will look to them in judgment and say, you've done these great miracles. Yes, you've done all of these things, they'll say to me, but I will reply to them, I never knew you. Isn't that radical? Doesn't that just get your attention? Man, there were people walking around saying, boy, I wish I was like Peter. Oh, I wish I could be in that group of 12. Wouldn't it have been great to have been Andrew? I bet you most people said, wow, Judas, he must be something. He gets to carry the money box, and he does all these things that Jesus asked him to do. I want to be like Judas. People were probably asking that of God. Oh, I would like to be one of your followers, maybe like Judas. Have you ever been shocked and surprised at sometimes your own request? And yet Jesus says concerning the one who's going to betray him, he quotes the famous Psalm 41, even my own familiar friend in whom I've trusted, who ate bread with me, has lifted up his heel against me. But notice this, when Jesus quotes that Psalm in this verse, he only quotes a portion of it. Psalm 41:9 says, even my own familiar friend in whom I've trusted. Jesus doesn't call him friend here, does he, exactly? He doesn't call him or tell him that he's one he's trusted in. He just says, he's quoting the scripture, he says there that the one who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Interestingly enough, what is Judas going to do this dark, dangerous night of the betrayal? He's going to go out and do what to himself? He's going to hang himself. Psalm 41, this is about David and Ahithophel. Ahithophel sinned and betrayed David. What did Ahithophel go out and do that night? Hung himself. The word in the Greek and Hebrew is to take your heel and plant it directly in the solar plexus to knock the wind out of someone. This is not a little flick that Judas is afflicting upon Jesus. It is a reared back donkey kick into the lower chest of Jesus, knocking the wind out of him. Man, have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? It's been years. As I studied for this, I tried to remember when my wind was knocked out last. Thank God. It was during the days of football, you know, when you catch a helmet or a heel. And I've caught a heel right below the pads, right there in the upper part of that diaphragm. And what do you feel like?
You can't.
And your face is turning purple. You can't catch your breath. Coach runs out there, or the athletic attendant runs out there and blows in your face to get you to catch your breath. And they lift up your pants so you've got no pressure there on your belly so you can take some air again. This is the word. Jesus is hit by the grief that one of his very own could be lost. That one that had heard and followed could be lost. Yes, they're not born again at this point. Yes, there's no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's to come in John chapter 20. That's later. But Jesus says prophetically, this is what it was all about. Listen, what we also consider under this, God's love endures all things in the hour of denial, is that denial causes fear and doubt. It causes fear and doubt. Look at the disciples. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Can you imagine? Look at, they're all looking at each other. They're looking. Another gospel tells us, they ask Jesus, is it I? Is it me? Is it him? Doubt and confusion. Denying the Lord and walking in a place of denial causes doubt and confusion even around those who traffic with one who is denying Christ. Oh, I don't believe in Jesus anymore because of this. Causes fear, causes doubt. They even look at one another and they're wondering, is it him? And then another gospel, as I say, says they look to one another and ask Jesus, is it me? And that causes me as a Christian to say, Lord, is it me? God, could I forsake you like this? And all the while I'm haunted. We've got Judas, the betrayer, and we've got Peter, the denier. And at this moment, nobody knows who's who in the room. That'll make you a little nervous, don't you think, if you were there? The word looked here is a funny word in Greek. It's blepo. Don't you love that word? Hey, blepo. They blepoed at each other. It means to gaze at someone with guarded unbelief. You've seen it before. It's this. I wish Gil Irwin was here to help me with this. To gaze at someone with guarded unbelief. Is it you? And then the word perplexed. To realize, the word means that you have no way out of the situation. You're in the upper room. At that moment, the thought is implied, I wish I wasn't here. 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 But you're there. And the word perplexed means to realize that you have no way out, to be at a loss mentally, to be in utter doubt, to be perplexed. Wow, what a tense room, don't you think? We have the English word stupefied that meets this the best. They were stupefied. God's love endures all things. In the hour of denial, not only denial causes fear and doubt, but listen, denial causes suspicion and guilt. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Do you guys all know who that is? Yeah, good, great. It's John. He always speaks of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. By the way, out of the 12 apostles, John was known to be the youngest one. Most scholars believe that he was probably somewhere in his very, very late teens or very early 20s. Now, Jesus would have been 33. And so, hey, guys, this is kind of cool. This is a young kid. And notice John. He's leaning on Jesus' chest. Can you imagine listening to the heartbeat of the Son of God? They're reclined at table. They recline. The tables are only about 18 inches off the ground. You can go to a restaurant in Newport Beach today and you eat the same way. You recline and you eat like this. And you want to make sure that your friend has his shoes pointing away from you, that's to your other side. But you lean like this with your feet out, and you're talking and you're sharing and you're eating with one hand like this. This is what they're doing. So John is so close. Are you with me on here? I almost need someone up here to help me out. John's head is right here. Isn't that sweet? It's very cool. It's great when men can be like that. There's nothing fruity or gay about it. It's awesome. John's listening to the heartbeat of God. When Jesus speaks, you can probably hear his chest vibrate. Isn't that awesome? He's like a little baby inside the mama. He hears everything they tell us. I'm sure it's true. John's leaning on Jesus' chest. And Simon Peter, verse 24, look at it with me. Therefore motioned to him. Wouldn't you see Peter? You just got to see Peter. Motions to John. Ask him, who he's speaking about? Who's he talking about? I got to know. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast. Hear the intimacy here? This is great. John's leaning. What? Peter, what is it? John's apparently not concerned. What? Ask him who it is. Psst, ask him. John leans back on Jesus' breast. Jesus, who is it? You know, Peter, though, he wants to know. He's all freaked out about it. No, I just inserted that part. It doesn't say that. It just says that John asked Jesus, who is it? You know, that right there is a great sermon, right, just right here. The disciple whom Jesus loved, resting on Jesus' chest, is the only one who asked, who is it? He's not concerned about it. The other ones are saying, is it I? John's not panicking about it. You want to know why? John could say, is abiding in Christ. He's not worried about it. He's not panicking about it. By the way, Matthew 26:25 says that Judas was already in the act of betraying Jesus. He had already met up with the religious hierarchy. And Matthew 26:25 says at this point that Judas turns to him and says, Rabbi, that is teacher or master, teacher, is it I? Yeah, doesn't this give you the creeps? Judas turns to him. By the way, you're going to be shocked to find out that Judas was sitting in the place of honor. Jesus, if you look at all the Gospels and put them together, Jesus placed Judas at the seat of honor. John was on one side, Judas was on the other side. So when Jesus turns to hear what Judas is asking or stating, he's 180 degrees from John. One's to the left and one's to the right. The seat of honor, by the way, was, I believe, to the left. I have it in my notes. I'll look at it later. If I'm wrong, I'll bring it up. Jesus leans over or looks over and hears Judas ask this question, Rabbi, is it me? And it's a very interesting question because what the Greek implies is this. Jesus, are you saying that you know that I'm the one who is betraying you? You know this? Jesus places him at the seat of honor. What's Jesus doing? Wouldn't you have placed your betrayer at the end of the line? I wouldn't even let the guy in the room. Can you imagine if Peter knew who the betrayer was? Let me at him! I'm gonna kill him! Nobody knows. And so Matthew records, is it I? Denial of the truth will always lead to suspicion and guilt. Second point this morning, living in the hour of denial, verses 26 to 30. Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. This is his response to John, not the rest of the guys. Apparently, just to John. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, after the piece of bread, listen, now, verse 27, circle it in your Bible. Now is a very drastic word. It means at that instant. Watch this. Everybody's eyes up here. Jesus takes the bread, dips it in the wine. hands it to Judas. The moment Judas takes it, and there's no account that he partakes of it, he just receives it from Jesus. At that instant, the Bible says here, Satan entered into Judas. That is amazing. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to, what does it say? Him. My question is, him who? And I'm going to give you the answer here. The camp is divided. Some people believe that Jesus is speaking to Judas. And he is speaking to Judas. But some scholars say he's speaking to Satan. The camp's divided. Well, you can battle with that all you want. The fact is Satan now residing inside Judas? Yep. And so he says in verse 27, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew. Listen, mark it in your Bible. Nobody knew at the table for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box that Jesus was sending him to get things for the feast. Or others thought that he was commanding him to go get something for the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he went out immediately and highlighted in your Bible, it was what? It was night. It was dark. This stuff always happens. Denial always happens when it's dark. So, Jack, what do you mean by that? Oh, I'm not talking about the sunlight being up and down. In this case, the sun was down, of course. But denial always happens when we're walking in darkness. Had Judas walked in darkness? Oh, yeah. And look where his darkness led him. He didn't want to think about God. He didn't want to think about the kingdom. He didn't want to think about Jesus. He wanted his own thing. God's love governs over all things in the hour of denial. Listen, verse 26, his love never makes a mistake. God's love never fails. It never makes a mistake. Jesus answered and said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. He's preparing all of the disciples. In a moment, we'll see. John knows what's happening. Jesus gives the answer to John. But he's already told them in the 19th verse, I'm going to tell you these things in advance. Amos 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And that's you, by the way. And by the way, you have his secrets right here. It's called the Bible. The mystery of God. You can read it. He has revealed what he wants to say and do. And so Judas sits in the place of honor. He would have received, by the way, listen, Judas would have received the bread first. Here's the part that blows my mind. All of them would have received the bread. But see, nobody knows what's going on, but John knows a little bit. I don't know about you, but after Jesus says this, listen, the group didn't hear it. John heard it. So the bread comes around and they're all dipping. The only clue that they've got is Psalm 41:9. They all ate bread. Jesus told them to. So now I understand why they're saying, Lord, is it I? You see, we're all in the room. We've all partaken of the bread. We could all be guilty of denial, couldn't we? We could all be in this pot. But something's happening. It's no accident that Peter will be denying and Judas will be denying. But one's a believer and one's not a believer. It's a big difference. They all apparently appeared guilty to one another. Verse 27, God's love governs over all things in the hour of denial. We see in verse 27 that his love is always in control. I love it. What you do, do quickly. John 13:2 already told us, and the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. You see this? You guys, mark John 13:2. We've studied it earlier. But draw a line all the way back to that verse. Why? Do you see the progression? Satan is saying, Satan is speaking to Judas. Hey, why don't you betray him? Hey, you know what? You can get 30 pieces of silver. Hey, come on. Satan's tempting. All the way from John 13, verse 2, Satan is tempting Judas. He's putting it in his thoughts. I should betray him. Maybe I should be. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. He's thinking about it. Hey, where do you and I start sinning first? In our thoughts, in our head, in our soul, don't we? We start thinking that. We start thinking wrong. It always starts with our head first. Before you see your little boy with his hand in the cookie jar, believe you me, it began a lot earlier in his head. It always starts in the imagination. That's why the Bible says, bring every thought under the captivity of Jesus. Satan comes tempting, but listen, Jesus is in control. The tragic thing is Satan is going around checking doorknobs. Checking, looking to see if a window's open. Did you know, I read this thing on Richard Ramirez. Remember him, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker? Those of you who are old enough remember how petrified California was. The whole state. In his killing spree, in his serial killing spree. Did you know Richard Ramirez, it says, never broke into a house? Every house he went in to kill his next victim found an unlocked door or window. He never broke the law in breaking and entering like that. He walked in. And so do you and so do I to Satan when we open up the door and just we don't leave it locked. We don't secure our home. We're not praying over our house. We're not praying over our husband. We're not praying over our wife. We're not praying over our friends. We're not praying for our church. And so things begin to happen. We leave the door wide open. And then we often think in our thoughts, someone will shut it. Don't we? Someone will shut the door. And yet God is warning you, shut the door. You go and shut the door on that. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to families and maybe mothers today and fathers today. Shut the door on what has been opened to your home. Satan has gone and he's found a door unlocked and his foot is just in. Slam the door on him. Jesus is still in control. Colossians 1, verse 16. I must hurry. We'll end on this point here. But keep this in mind, jotting this down. Colossians 1, 16, concerning Jesus being in control. The Bible says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, both visible things and invisible things, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. That means Jesus invented even angels, and he governs over demonic powers. Though he didn't create demonic powers, angels fell, and demonic powers were born by their rebellion, says the Bible, book of Revelation, and Genesis chapter 6. Hebrews 1:7 says, and of the angels, he says, who he makes angels, spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Even Satan is a minister in the hand of God, as he is even at this hour, in the darkness of this night, when Judas is going to betray Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, taking us through the events leading up to the execution of Jesus of Nazareth. It's a look at John chapter 13 and verses 18 through 38. The title of the study, Living in the Hour of Denial. And in fact, this is a sub-series as we continue to journey through the Gospel of John, which means that there's more to come on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us. Meanwhile, we extend an invitation for you to get in touch with us, especially if you'd like to hear this study once again in its entirety. And probably the best place to start is by visiting us at www.realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org. And in fact, while you're there, you can not only hear past broadcasts, but you can look into being a subscriber to our podcasts at absolutely no charge. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Also, a reminder that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine a
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.